Good morning, and welcome to you and the rest of the audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. Maybe there's something that we say on this program that you either agree or disagree with. Maybe you have a Bible question or maybe a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program. Please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me by email directly. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, the Bible account of creation is initially set forth in a very simple narrative form, and we read about it in Genesis 1, chapters 1 and 2. The account shows every sign of being an historical narrative to be understood in its literal and obvious sense. In fact, dealing fairly with the text itself demands that we acknowledge that the first people that read the account would have concluded a very simple truth, and that truth is God created the world and all things in it, including man, over a period of six literal consecutive days at the beginning of time. However, in our study today, we want to seek to address the view of creation that's presented in other passages of the Scriptures as the inspired writers look back on the Genesis account of creation. I believe it's in this way that we can see the divine commentary that's given to us to help us to properly understand and interpret this very important and fundamental text in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 5, let's read the first three verses. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. See, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him, we see that he created him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them and blessed them, and he called their name Adam in the day that they were created. And it tells us that Adam lives 130 years, and he then begets a son in his own likeness, after his image, and they call his name Seth. See, the fact that Adam and Eve were created on the same day is affirmed here in Genesis 5. Two measures of time, a day and years, are used in the same context of what we've read. So, consistency demands the same rule apply to interpreting Genesis 5 as it does to interpreting Genesis chapters 1 and 2. So, was the day actually a long epic of hundreds of thousands of years, or was it a literal day? Were the years a period of approximately 365 literal days, or was it a collection of hundreds or thousands of years? Well, obviously, the literal sense of both day and years best fits the context here in Genesis 5. Another passage of Scripture. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, let's begin our reading at verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your sons, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger, which is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, While we're here in the book of Exodus, let's move on to chapter 31 of that same book. In beginning our reading now in verse 14, here's what we find. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So each of these verses that we've read here in the book of Exodus views the 6 days of creation and the following day of rest as a thing to the Jews and compares it to the 6 days of work that the Jews were to do and the following day of rest that they were to observe, and that, of course, was the Sabbath. But the point is that the days are the same in length. They're the same in order. They're the same in function, because it was the 6 days that God created. If they were not meant to suggest that type of likeness, then there would appear no legitimate purpose for the parallel that is being drawn here in Exodus to the account, original account, that we read about in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Now let's move our attention to the book of Psalms. In Psalm chapter 33, let's notice our reading as we start with verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So we see then that God's power is truly manifested in creation when we read these verses here in Psalms 33. When God spoke, it was done, and it stood fast. How could this passage be harmonized with an interpretation of the creation account that holds to the idea that God spoke to begin a process that took millions or billions of years to stabilize into the form in which we have presently reached? Well, friends, there's no way to harmonize the two, because Psalms 33 is diametrically opposed to that kind of a view of God setting into motion something that took thousands of years to evolve. Yet our progressive creationists tell us that when God spoke into existence the heavens and earth, he just actually caused the Big Bang and then to take place, and then 15 to 20 billion years ago, which finally resulted in the earth forming some 4.5 billion years ago. They tell us that when God spoke light into existence on the first day, it took millions of years for enough cooling and clearing of the atmosphere to take place so that the sun, the moon, and the stars could be seen to have already been made when he spoke to make them on the fourth day. You know, such interpretations may sprout from a very fertile imagination, but they wither away when they are examined in the light of plain teaching like what we have here in Psalms 33. Now let's turn our attention to the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 10, let's notice verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Now let's look at Matthew's account of this passage here in Mark, in Matthew chapter 19, and begin our reading with verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God hath joined together, let not man separate. What we have here is Jesus answering a question by the Pharisee about divorce. And Jesus refers them back to the origin of marriage with Adam and Eve. Jesus affirmed in Matthew 19 and verse 4 that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. So the progressive creationist might respond that this refers to the beginning of marriage, which may have come millions or billions of years after the beginning of creation. But however, the parallel account of Mark 10 and verse 6 takes care of that. It says that from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. So if the progressive creationists are right, man and woman were brought on the scene much closer to our end of time than the beginning period of time. So again, the interpretation forced on the Bible by these progressive creationists doesn't harmonize with our biblical references back to creation. In fact, let me just read to you a statement by Bert Thompson that made the following point by commenting on this same passage, as I quote, In this context, there's additional information that should be considered as well. For example, concerning Adam and Eve, Jesus declared, But from the beginning of the creation, male and female made he them. Christ thus dates the first humans from the creation week. The Greek word for beginning is used of absolute, denoting the beginning of the world and of its history, and the beginning of creation. The Greek word denotes the sum total of what God has created. So unquestionably then, Jesus placed the first human beings at the dawn of creation. To reject this truth, one must contend that, one, Christ knew the universe was in existence millions of years before man, but accommodating himself to the ignorance of his age, he deliberately misrepresents the situation. Or it could be that the Lord is living in a pre-scientific time, was uninformed about the matter, despite the fact that he was there as a creator. Either of these allegations is speaking on the verge of blasphemy. And there are other passages that we could address regarding this issue as well, but I hope that these are sufficient to show us that the biblical writers looking back on the creation account took it as a literal statement that God created heaven, earth, and all therein in six literal consecutive days, with man's creation taking place in that beginning of the creation week. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.